Have you ever received a really special gift for Christmas that, or even at any other period of time, that absolutely surprised you, but it was amazingly valuable? Think about that for a minute. Think back through all of your birthdays and Christmases where you got some kind of a gift that was so valuable to you. What was your response to that gift? Let me hear you. What was your response? What? Yay? We got a yay. Come on. What else? What was your... Hello? Thank you. Yeah, that's a good one. Thank you. Yeah. But it's like super surprising. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you very much. No, what else? What else? What was your... Huh? Overwhelmed. Absolutely. And a little... you know, kind of a little happy dance, right? Can't you do that? We did this thing because we had a dog in our neighborhood when I was growing up, and the dog, whenever the owner would come out to it with a treat, he's like, "You want a treat?" And the dog would be like, "Oh, oh, oh." It sort of got into my skin that whenever something really great is given to me, I just go, "Oh," like that. And people are like, "Are you insane or what?" And I'm like, "Probably. Yeah, perhaps." But I actually do. Isn't that true, Becca? I do actually howl at times, you know, when something really good happens. That we give a hug, that we express our thanks, we express our excitement in all kinds of different ways, don't we? And that's exactly what's happening in this Christmas story. There's all kinds of people that are responding, trying to respond to this event. And I heard a saying the other day that it was like watching a parade through a knothole. That what's going on in the incarnation of Jesus, that God coming to earth and taking on flesh in a cave, in a stable, lying in a manger, is that it's like we're watching a parade through a little tiny knothole, and we can only see these little bitty pieces of it that are coming by, but we know that it's important, but we just can't capture the whole thing. But what kind of responses should we actually have for Christmas? I want to take about 7 minutes, and I want to talk to you about those things, all right? Because I want to try to keep our timetables in this whole thing, although we're going to be a little bit, well, because we started late, so you have to give us a little bit of credit on that, okay? So I want to read to you from Luke's Gospel, and because we see some of the verbs of Christmas in terms of the ways that people responded. I just want to pick three random ones, but I want to read to you these famous passages anyway. And it starts in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It goes like this: "And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior is born. He is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a feeding trough, in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' And when the angel had left them and gone to heaven, back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby who was lying in a manger." When we talk about a lot of times how to read the scripture, this is a particular passage that we use with that, because a lot of times people will hurry the read and say, when they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and a baby lying in a manger, it's like, that's a very crowded manger. There's Mary and Joseph and a baby lying in a manger. So the first thing that we see from these in terms of our response is that they sought him and they found him. What should we do this Christmas? We should seek him and we should find him. And what's interesting in this story is that they seek Jesus, but they find him in the most inconspicuous and startling sort of a place, that he's in a smelly stable. And that God came into our world in a very unassuming and a humble way. And Jesus is sought and found in all kinds of different places that we wouldn't expect to find him. So for those of you that are students, you can find Jesus actually at your school, that he's hanging around your high school or your junior high or your elementary school or your preschool, that he's hanging out there somewhere. He is to be found in every single place where you are. For those of you that work jobs that you don't even like, Jesus is to be found, sought and found there. Because he shows up in the most inconspicuous places, in the most startling sorts of ways. If we're looking for him, if we're seeking him, we will find him. In your jobs, whatever you do to go out and work, you might be a salesperson, you can find Jesus wherever that is, or a craftsman, or a teacher, or whatever that you do, you find yourself doing. You can find Jesus there if you're looking for him. And so the first thing that we see that's really important for us to do, and this is a lifestyle, all of these responses are actually lifestyles, is that we want to seek him and find him in all the different places. Wow, you guys are really close with these binoculars. We want to seek and find Jesus in the most inconspicuous places. Got that? All right? The second thing is, and it keeps on going in the passage, as we go into this passage a little bit further, it says, and when they had seen him, this is the shepherds, they spread the word concerning what they had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Now, think about that for a moment, that the shepherds, these people that are really nobodies within the society of that day, that they hear this news from angels and the host of heaven, they're telling these things and everybody's like, what? Seriously? But Mary, in particular, it's kind of incredible for her because she's absorbing all this in a very profound way. It says that, but Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. So think about this, as a parent for a minute, that she's hearing these different things. She's hearing about angels, and she's hearing about glory, and the host of heaven singing, and this announcement that this baby that she's holding in this smelly place, and she didn't give birth into some sort of very sanitized environment. She's all sweaty, her hair's all matted and everything. The place is stinky, and the baby that she's holding is a savior. He is the Messiah. He's the promised deliverer that God has made promises years ago that he was going to come and deliver his people, and now it's actually happening, and the one that she's holding in her arms is that deliverer. And not only that, he's the Lord. What? This baby that I'm holding is the Lord? And what does she do? It says that she hears these things and she treasures them in her heart and she thinks deeply. So we treasure him and we think deeply about him. And so I'm going to say that this is the treasure, okay? And I'm going to put on my thinking cap. And well, that should be actually in here. But anyway, I'm just trying to make the metaphor work. Okay, so here we got. We put on our thinking cap and we think about him and we treasure those thoughts that we have about him. I think a lot of times what we do, because we see these little nativity sets and different kind of things like that, that over time we get sort of used to seeing Jesus in this very predictable sort of a way. But the God of the universe took on flesh and he came to us. And we need to spend some time thinking about that. What does it mean that the glory of God has come to us? What does that mean? That's a question that's worth pondering, isn't it? The idea that this one who came is a savior, why? Why? That's a question worth pondering, right? Why? 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 Why the need? I mean, weren't we doing okay? Aren't humans basically good? Not exactly, right? Why did we need saving? That's a question worth pondering. Those are things that are worth treasuring in our hearts and pondering and turning over and over again and thinking about and then asking God, why do we need a deliverer, the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one? Why do we need that? What do we need delivering from? Those are questions that we should be asking. And those are questions that God is routinely answering, not just once and for all, although he has answered that once and for all. He continues to answer that in our daily lives and the people that we walk with. That we meet somebody that's a slave to addiction, and we know that the deliverer, the one that we're celebrating today, came for that person to deliver them from that addiction. Does that make sense? So we ask these questions, Lord, what do you mean the Lord? The Lord came? I mean, that's just outside of our box, that God actually took on flesh and that in human flesh is God himself. That's incredible. In another passage in Matthew chapter 2, it talks about that you will call him Emmanuel, that is God with us. And for God, names are really important, really important. And so the name Jesus and the name Emmanuel, Jesus means God saves, or the God who saves. And Emmanuel means the with us God. And that's what we got. We got the Savior who's with us. And so that means that I am really never alone. Lastly, in verse 20 it says, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and which were just as they had been told. The shepherds are excited. This is incredible. This is fantastical. This is incredible stuff that they have just brushed up against. And they are not the people for whom you would announce these different things. They're the commoners, if you will. But what they do, and that what they do, is they express their gratitude for God coming into their lives, for God coming near to them, and how much they appreciate Him for God revealing Himself and giving His life for us. That they express gratitude all the time. And throughout the scripture, this whole idea of expressing gratitude is a very big deal. When human beings are expressing gratitude, when we're actually saying thank you and being grateful, not just saying thank you, but being grateful, it changes our whole perspective on life. We do this thing in our family called the love spoon. I don't have time to go into the whole tradition of it. It's a Celtic tradition from many, many years ago, but I can't remember it, so that's the reason why I'm not going to tell you. Because I was like, I can't remember. I just remember what we do. All right, so this is how this works. That the person who's holding this, all the rest of the people within the group, whoever, however big or small the group is, they go around the circle and they say something that they really love about that person or who they are to them, and they speak these things. And so my daughter Becca is born on Christmas Eve. She was turned 20 yesterday. And woo-hoo-hoo! All right, and so she got the love spoon, and we went around as a family, and we said all of these wonderful things about her and who she is to us. And it's a laughing kind of a thing, and it's a crying sort of thing. There's so much joy, there's so much affection, there's so much appreciation and love that's expressed when the person holding the love spoon holds the love spoon and the people don't hold back their gratitude. And that's what I want to challenge us to do with our Jesus today, is that we don't hold anything back, that we give Jesus, here we go. We give Jesus the love spoon, all right? And that Jesus, we take some time and we sit around and we tell Jesus the things that He's done for us that we so appreciate, and we express those things. And we don't hold them back, but we unveil our hearts to them and say, Lord, I needed you. I needed saving so badly, and you came, and you saved me. You came near to me, and so I've never once in my life been without hope, even if I have felt like it, because hope is with me in person. I have never in my life been without love, because love has been with me all the days of my life, in person, in the person of Jesus Christ. And so just to reiterate, what should our responses be? And it's just taking a running start at it. We should seek Him and find Him. But that's a year, that's a yearly and a daily and a minutely type of an excursion. That we should treasure Him deeply, treasure Him in our hearts and think deeply on Him. And then we should give Jesus a love spoon and express our gratitude to Him with all of our fullness. Amen? All right, let's all stand up. And worship team, if you would come up. One of the Branch family, if you would make sure that you take back the love spoon from Jesus, that would be great. Because I don't want to make sure that we don't forget it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, You coming to us in this humble and unexpected way was heaven's generosity with extravagance. That You didn't come with pomp and circumstance and keep Yourself at a distance from us. No, You came near. You came right up to us. You came right into our lives. You did not leave us in our badness. You did not leave us in the distance. You bridged the gap. You came the distance, all the distance. You didn't come most of the way. You came all the way to us. And so today, Lord, we celebrate that You did it. You did it, Lord Jesus. Would you say that with me? You did it, Lord Jesus. You came all the way. You bridged the gap completely. Not You bridged the gap mostly and then we have to make the rest of the way. No, You did the whole thing. And so today, Lord, we just want to express in these songs our gratitude and our love for You. So come and receive these songs. And for all of you that might be lonely or in your heart uncertain of where you are with God, you don't have to be uncertain at all today. God has said definitively by coming, I love you. God has said definitively that if you will open your heart, that I will come in and I will be your Savior and I will save you. And you can know for sure of that, but you need to open up your heart this morning. Jesus, we just invite you in. If that's you, just invite him in. But let's just say to him, Lord, we want to seek you and find you. Would you say that with me? I want to seek you and find you. Lord, I want to treasure you in my heart and think deeply on you. Say that. I want to treasure you in my heart and think deeply on you. Lord, I want to express my gratitude to you. So here's a running start. Receive this worship, we pray, in your name.